Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
The Rasmus is a Finnish rock band that formed in 1994 in Helsinki. The band's current lineup include Lauri Ullinen, Eero Heinonen, Aki Hakala, and Emilia Suhonen. The band has sold over 5 million albums worldwide and 350,000 albums in Finland alone, and has won numerous awards both domestic and international. The band represented Finland in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2022 with the song Jezebel. In 2025, the 6-time platinum and 8-time gold certified record-breaking band released their 11th studio album, Weirdo. Singles released from the latest body of work include Weirdo, Love is a Bitch, Break These Chains, and Creatures of Chaos. For the latest project, Weirdo, the band collaborated and wrote most of the songs with Desmond Child and Marty Fredriksson. With their new album, The Rasmus once again proves why they remain a force to be reckoned with in the rock world. In their native Finland, where they are the reigning number one rock band, The Rasmus stands at number one on Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, and Deezer as far as followers, views, likes, and streams. If you've listened to any of their albums, you'll be able to hear a kaleidoscope collage of heavy guitars against futuristic electronics, as well as pop hooks that can find their way into the heart of any kind of music fan. As a direct result, they've become one of Finland's greatest musical exports. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Lauri Ullinen from The Rasmus.
Where are you in the world and how are you doing?
I'm in Finland. I recently moved back to my home country, Finland. I lived 11 years abroad. I lived in America, in different states, and I'm happy to be back in Europe and in Finland. It's a good place.
How did the name for the band, The Rasmus, come? What was the choice and how was it chosen?
So the name Rasmus is a Finnish and Scandinavian boy's name. But for us, it didn't have that meaning. It was more like a energetic word that had that Scandinavian and Northern European vibe. And we just happened to pick that out of the blue. It just came.
At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this creative world? How did you meet the rest of the members of the band? And how did that beginning journey start?
I have like a classical music background. My parents introduced me to piano when I was 5 years old, and I played classical guitar for more than 10 years. But maybe at the age of 10, I started discovering first like bands and artists that I was idolizing. And one of them was, for example, Alice Cooper. I must have been like 10 years old. I had his poster on my wall, and I thought that he was a really interesting and cool character with his makeup, and he had a snake and like the whole style. Plus, he had a great song, Poison, which
yes.
is still one of the best rock songs I know. So, yeah, that really hit me hard. And I was also listening to, you know, Kiss and Bon Jovi a little bit and bands like this. And at that time, I didn't know that a producer with whom I would be working after, 20 years later, was behind these songs. But that was still a mystery to me. I was just liking the vibe of the music. But Mr. Desmond Child was the songwriter for all these songs that I used to like when I was a kid. So that's awesome that I got to meet him later in life and work with him. We were all growing up in the same neighborhood in a suburb in Helsinki, Finland. We met at school, I think I was 10 years old when I met Eero, our bass player. And ever since, we've been playing together in different occasions. First, like school bands. And then at the age of 15, we formed the Rasmus. And we've played the first concert in our school, a Christmas party in 94. And that's how we got started as the band. And ever since, we've been really actively making music. Now it's more than 30 years already, and we just released our 11th album.
We'll get into that in moments' time. First, when you met and collaborated with Desmond Child, did you have a little bit of imposter syndrome and be like, "Ooh, I'm working with this artist of people's music that I've loved," or was it just all the foundations of work that you've had over the years allowed that collaboration to happen in the moment it was supposed to?
I think it was like destiny kind of thing, because I grew up listening to his music. I learned all his tricks. I was writing songs already when I was really young, and I was always really carefully studying the songs he had written. Then later, obviously, I was older and I understood that, you know, the guy is behind all those songs. And then out of the blue, he just emailed me one day when I was like maybe 25 years old. And he said, "I just heard your song In the Shadows on the radio. I love your band. I would love to work with you. And I hope you accept my, you know, my wish, dear Desmond Child." And then I was like, wow, this is really crazy. My hero is contacting me. And then we met him in Dominican Republic. We had a concert there with our band, and he came to see us. And we spent a weekend together planning the next Rasmus album. And that was, I think, 2007. And then since then, we have been very close friends. And we've been writing many, many songs, almost three albums together. Yeah, it's been fantastic to know this guy, because he's a living legend, and he has so many stories, and he has so much experience and knowledge and ideas, and he's somehow like not just a writer friend to me, but he's kind of like a father or figure or something, or even like a mentor or something like that. So he's helped me out in life when I've been tangled up in life, and like he's helped me a couple of times. It's been really valuable.
I love that story of you just sitting at your desk or sitting at your computer, and there's an email from Desmond Child, one of your heroes, and must have been like, "Am I seeing things? Is this real?"
Yeah, exactly. I was like, "No, this is a scam." You know, how would he have my email? I was thinking, but then I heard from the record label that he had asked for it, and he wanted to talk straight to me, which is nice, you know, because a lot of information goes through the management or record label, and so it was really nice. Yeah, we have a tradition. We go to Greece. In Greece, there's an island of Folegandros, which we've gone, I think, five times with him, and it's become like a tradition every June to go there, write music. And it's a really beautiful, isolated, small, quiet island. Very like typical postcard, you know, like just the way you would imagine it, like white buildings and blue doors and windows and old men sitting outside all day
playing backgammon.
Yeah, and like dogs lying on the ground, and just like time has stopped. It's a great place to focus, and we've written a bunch of music there. It's nice to have some traditions. I really enjoy that. Like every year in February, I start thinking, oh yeah, soon it's time to go to Folegandros. And like it adds some nice routine and rhythm to your life.
You don't have sort of a routine because you're on the road, you're in the studios, you're doing music videos, you're on all sorts of things. So there's it allows a foundation for you to look forward. Okay, I know for these couple of weeks, I'm going to be in this space doing this. So I totally agree with you. You've been, as you referenced, creating in the industry, performing for a few decades. What is the motivation for you to keep creating and keep performing?
I think I've never lost the passion for writing songs, performing also. I think I'm more into writing music. That is like my favorite part of this. I just love that feeling, like, because we always work in album cycles. And so when the latest one is being put out, like just now, I'm already kind of starting a new era and like make a little summary of my life. Like, okay, where am I right now? What have I done the last 5 years, like last 30 years? Where do I want to be in the next 10 years? And kind of like stop for a moment to think, who am I and why am I? And then it's always nice to start building a new era, a new like path. That's my favorite part of it. And I honestly love those moments when a song starts to happen. Like, first you have a tiniest idea, you know, it's almost like magic, like how it starts to fall in place. You know, it just comes from somewhere in the back of your mind. That feeling of succeeding, it's really nice when you get it right. And then we started this band as a hobby. We were just, you know, four guys, teenagers from Finland. And, you know, we loved playing different instruments, and we still have that joy of playing and that joy of exploring and traveling. You know, we are still super good friends in this team. And recently we actually had a new guitarist joining us. She joined us like 3 years ago. And before that, we had some difficulties with the previous guy and the chemistry wasn't right. I think we had just grown apart. And, you know, now that she came in, she just suddenly fit so well. And, you know, we share so much common things with her, like values and attitude towards, you know, work. Like, she's willing to sacrifice the same amount as the rest of us for the band, because it takes a lot to be touring 3 months in a row and be away from home or whatever. You gotta do it. There's no like 9 to 5 yes. hours. So we're in a good place right now with this new lineup. It just feels really nice having that new beginning sort of after all these decades.
You referenced earlier that you initially started the band as a hobby. When it started becoming successful and you realized that you guys were now doing it professionally and it was like, oh, this is actually something that we can do full time. Were there any aspects of the thing of being a professional that surprised you that you didn't think would be part of the process?
I think we were lucky to have a very rapid start, because we played maybe half a year like shows in the small clubs and just, you know, tried to get ourselves heard. But there was a guy in Finland who then became our manager. He really fell in love with our music, and he was like 10 years older. And he said, like, guys, let's do this like an EP. Let's collect money to do 5 songs or 4 songs, I think. And then we were actually, putting up posters all around Helsinki every night, working after school, or other bands like Black Sabbath or whoever came to play in Helsinki. We were doing this semi-illegal stuff to raise some money for the EP. And we got one of the songs on the EP went to the national radio here in Finland. And then it sort of like blew up in like a week. All of a sudden we were everywhere and everybody wanted to talk to us. And we got really successful fast. The first album sold a lot, and we were like on top of the game fast. And then I was thinking, I was still at school obviously I was 17, 18 years old or something. I was thinking, like, I can't handle school and the band at the same time. I decided to quit school, which was kind of crazy because I always thought that I would finish the high school or what's that, like, college. Because I wanted to wake up in the morning and play guitar, write songs, really 100% focus on the music and the band. And it actually paid off. I was able to learn more about writing, and it started to go even better afterwards. And then I was always thinking, maybe I can go back to school if the whole thing collapses. But it never happened.
I remember you said earlier that the way a song comes to you is through the back of your mind, it's like a vessel. Has your creative process changed in any way since you started, or you sort of still use the same format in creating a song?
I think after writing hundreds of songs, I think I've been able to try different methods, and I've learned this from other writers too. Sometimes I don't even touch any instrument. I write just in my head. I try to take it far in my thoughts because I can sort of hear notes and like chords and stuff when I'm just thinking about it. And then it's quite nice way to do it because then I don't lock in the chords. Whenever I take an instrument in my hand, usually then it's pretty like permanent somehow. So sometimes I like to keep it just like up in the air. It's kind of strange, but it works. And then I always been writing mostly with guitar. I think it's closest to the music I was listening and being inspired when I was younger. I was a big fan of Metallica and bands like that, who had obviously guitar-driven music.
You referenced the latest album, the 11th album. Tell us all about the latest project.
It's called weirdo. This word has been in my life for as long as I remember. I think when I was younger, it was like a insult. You know, people would call me that and try to put me down. I was always looking special. I had makeup, I had crazy hairstyles, and you know, vintage secondhand clothing, and like I was always a weirdo, really. But I never changed my ways, even, and like there was pressure from school or you know, from society to be like something, to be more proper or whatever. But I mean, it was almost like an invitation to other weirdos like me to find me. And by the way you look, you can really express your feelings and your ideas like in your world. And so I think a lot of people, they found me and they became my best friends for life. And obviously some of these people were the Rasmus, and that's how we met as a band as well. But now we bring back that word in a positive light because I think it's cool to be a weirdo. You know, it's better to be your unique self than like everyone else. We want to encourage, especially young people or anyone, to be true to themselves. And so this album sort of has that kind of message. Sound-wise, this album is, it's harder and heavier than before, and that was kind of intentional. I've been just liking music, harder music, and it just felt good at this time in this world. And you know, the world is a mess right now, and
Exactly.
always, you know, it makes me scared and worried and all that. So a little bit harder music fits to that mood. I'm really, really happy with this album because it's quite diverse. There's different moods, typically quite melodic, and we have this almost like beauty in the melodies, but now combined with the harder guitar riffs and edgy drums, I think it's in a nice balance, this kind of beauty and the beast.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange. Thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklets, the thank yous, listening to song from one to whatever number. I'm unsure if you are or not aware, a massive upsurge of physical around the world. A couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge daily for exchanges. And based on the exchanges, they monitor it for some tax purposes. Naturally, there needs to be high exchanges every day for a product to be in the basket. Because of the upsurge of the CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. The research is showing that it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world. We also have then DSPs, Spotify's, all these various platforms that people listen to music on. What are your observations of the current landscape?
I don't know how the CD itself is doing. I know vinyl is big. We've made vinyl, I think, of also the older albums recently, and they sell really well. People want to buy those. They want to listen, but also they want to keep them as, you know, as their little treasures because it looks great. It has that feeling. I personally love it. I think it's a wonderful thing to take it out of the box and put it down there, and like the whole process is part of the thing. And then the sound of a vinyl is nice and like a bit darker and maybe has more low end or something. Especially when you listen to rock on a vinyl, I love that. It's like, it sounds better. I think it's good we have all this diversity. We have CDs, we have vinyl, but also DSP platforms, because now the world is really open. It's a wonderful thing to have all the music so easily reachable. And that kind of world that, you know, if you listen to something, it's going to suggest you, like, you might like this band as well, and this one, and this one. So for me, at least, I can spend hours just, like, getting lost in music. And that's a beautiful thing. In past life, when I was a kid, it was only, you know, you would hear it from your friends or, you know, like, that information was moving slower. And then also, I think media used to have more power because they could just pick a song and basically tell everybody that, okay, this is the song that everybody will party this summer. And that was it. You know, like nowadays, it's more like people have the chance to choose.
And I like that. Yeah.
People can kind of vote by spreading, sharing this content. And it's kind of a natural, organic way, which I like.
What else is happening over the next period of time?
We started the tour same day as the album came out. And we started from Finland. That's why I'm here. For the next couple of weeks, we do Finland only. And then we start the European tour elsewhere. We also go to play in like Middle Asia or something. How do you call those countries? Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and Serbia and these interesting places. We also play in Dubai. We haven't played there in like so many years. And then we end the tour in Mexico. We have a big following. That's one of our main like territories. So that's pretty much this year. And that will be until Christmas, basically. And then my plan is to come back home to Finland to see Santa Claus, obviously, because he's from here.
Yes.
I want to play in the snow and have a good winter. Yeah, like for a couple of weeks, we always take off around Christmas time. You know, there's nothing much happening in the music industry that time. So it's a good place to take holiday, maybe. And then next year, we're heading back on the road. Like we start from Australia in January. That's a nice one because we haven't been there. It'll be the first time for us to go over there, which is very exciting. And then will be working a lot of the US next year. We just recently signed a deal with American label Better Noise Music, who have really cool, good connections in America, which we also haven't been touring enough the last 10 years. So it looks good. I mean, people have been really enjoying the new album, and we can see that we've gained so many new followers, like on Spotify and other platforms. So that's really flattering, you know. People like the music. That's the best thing we can imagine as musicians. And yeah, it's looking good. And I wish we could come there. You're calling from South Africa, right?
Yes, I was just going to say, are we on the list at all?
Well, not yet, but I mean, I would love to come back there. We went there once. I think it was like 2006 or something. We played 3 shows with Metallica, supporting them. And that was a fantastic experience in so many ways, you know, just to visit your country, but also meet Metallica and play in front of them. That was really awesome. We spent at least, I think, like 2 weeks there. So we had time off between the shows to do the tourist things, and really good memories from that trip.
Well, putting it out there, we'll stay in touch. And when you're here again, I'll be there cheering you in front, and we'll go for coffee or drinks afterwards.
Great.
I look forward to that. The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I want to say, like, if we can catch you on this tour this year, I hope to come to you next year. If you want to come and visit Finland, you can always get your ass over here. It's very nice. Beautiful nature.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.